But what I know is the product of baking. I know a cookie. Hallelujah. I know a really good cake. So I know the theory, but what I know is the product of that. Hallelujah. So today we need to know the Holy Spirit, because I don't believe we see less of this manifest power of the Holy Spirit because of a lack of knowledge. I think we have a lot of people who have a lot of knowledge. I believe we stop desiring the Holy Spirit. And we have neglected the Holy Spirit, who's as important to our faith and our life as oxygen is to your lungs. And I believe that neglect is sucking life out of Christians across the world. We have quenched the Holy Spirit in our neglect. If someone, this is kind of thought-provoking here, if someone never went to church and only read this word from front to back, over and over and over, I believe that they would have very high expectations of what they would see in church. Think about this. Just eliminate your thought of church. Go through the book of Acts for a moment. Go through and just study this. And if you were to only know this and never step once into a church, I believe that there will be some disappointment. So the question today that I ask you to ask yourself is, do you live with a need for the Holy Spirit? Do you live with that need? You may know about the Holy Spirit. You may have received the Holy Spirit, but do you require him in your every thought, in your every action? And we're going to go over I'm already going against what I'm going to tell you a little later. I need to be very clear. Who the Holy Spirit is, okay? First thing is, the Holy Spirit is God. Well, I thought the Father was God, and then I thought, you know, sometimes I've heard that Jesus is God, and now the Holy Spirit is God. And the Bible says that there's only one God. So what is it? Is the Father God? Is Jesus God? Is Holy? The answer is yes. Yes. The answer to your question is yes, if you're asking that. And so we need to study the Godhead, the Trinity. I'm not going to teach you too much on that because I believe you already know. But I've heard these comparisons that God is like an egg. You ever heard that comparison? You know, the shell and the yolk and God, Father, Son. God is not like an egg. God is God, and it's hard to categorize him because there is nothing to compare him to. Amen? That's why God is the example of holiness, which means to be separate of. He is separate from you and me, and that's okay. But that's why sometimes we, in our words, we have a hard time categorizing and understanding, because really he's beyond our understanding in a lot of ways. So I'm going to give you a term here. We're going to take you to school for a moment. When we describe the Holy Spirit, we do so anthropomorphically. Ooh, anybody know what that means? Anthropomorphic means to ascribing human characteristics to non-human things. So when we describe the Holy Spirit, we use a lot of human terms. But really, the Holy Spirit is not me and you, okay? So God is so far beyond what we can compare him to in humanly terms. He stands so far above our capabilities of thought. And that's why the angels and the saints, they cry, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God," because we are so far beneath him. 1 Timothy 6:16 says, "He is God who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man can see, has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power." He stands in unapproachable light. So who or what can compare to God? Now that I've prefaced the difficulty of explaining the Holy Spirit, I at least wanted to set the bar for you. But all we can do, guys, is we can search Scripture for understanding, but ultimately it's going to be the Holy Spirit who reveals the Word to you. So even though he stands far beyond our capability of thought, he's going to help and teach. Deuteronomy 29, 29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. God wants you to have greater understanding. But I can't compare the theology of God to an egg because he is so much greater than that. Amen. There's truly nothing to compare. Nothing compares to God, especially when you compare to the other beliefs or the other religions of the world that worship idols and worship images. The Holy Spirit is not just a vague, ethereal, impersonal force. He is a person equal in every way with God the Father and God the Son. The Holy Spirit bears witness of Jesus Christ, the Bible says. So God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when we neglect the Holy Spirit, we neglect God. Because he is. And I believe, like I said, one way we neglect the Holy Spirit is our lack of engagement, our lack of need. But also I think we neglect the Holy Spirit from our lack of misunderstanding. We often think about power when we think about the Holy Spirit. That's just the image we often get. Power, power, power. The Holy Spirit is not power. Electricity is power. It can power your microwave, your oven. But electricity does not give you knowledge or intellect or understanding. Electricity, power, does not have will or emotions. These are all attributes of the Holy Spirit. So I think we need to be very careful that we don't limit our view of the Holy Spirit to this power that God gives us that we can just yield as we want. Power. Amen? But, yes, the Holy Spirit is power. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. But I want to give you a bigger picture, okay? A bigger picture. I don't want to limit. I don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. I want to understand fully what he is to me, not just a few things. In the Gospel of John, I'm going to give you another term. In the Gospel of John, one of the original titles in Greek to describe the Holy Spirit is Parakletos. If I try to get my Greek R's, Parakletos, I don't know, something like that. I try to get fancy. I don't think I could walk anywhere and ever pass for Greek. So this word, Parakletos, is a verbal adjective, which means it describes a noun, and often used, this is where it gets good, often used of one called to help in a court of law. So this term is used in the court of law often, and it is translated in various ways: counselor, advocate, helper, comforter. It means literally one called alongside of, to aid, exhort, and encourage. One who pleads another's cause before a judge, a counsel for defense, a legal assistant, an advocate. It's good to know that when I've gotten into a mess, that I have a heavenly defense by my side, a spiritual legal team ready to counsel me, to help me, to be alongside me, and be my advocate. Hallelujah. So when Satan seeks to prosecute you, oh yes, when he seeks to prosecute you, he wants to take all that you have. He wants to take you for all your money. I don't watch those Judge Judy shows, but I think there's a lot of prosecutors who are trying to get a lot of dishonest money out of people. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. You have a heavenly defense today and an advocate in the Holy Spirit who petitions for us, and he gives me counsel to keep out of the mess in the first place. So he has so many things to us, and that's why we need to understand why we need the Holy Spirit. But let me give you a few more terms while we're at it. So he is our counselor, Parakletos. Counselor, comforter, helper, our advocate. So whatever, if you're reading out of the New King James Version, we're going to say helper. King James Version, I believe they use comforter. Well, yeah. Many different translations will use this same term. John 14:26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. He is our intercessor, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit is your intercessor. The Holy Spirit is our gift. Luke 11:13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Do you cherish this gift that is the Holy Spirit today? Or is it kind of like December 26th when you've gotten those gifts? You know, you've done it. Don't act like you haven't done it. You've gotten those gifts. You're looking for the gift receipt and saying, I can't use this. Now, this is a gift we must cherish and use every day. Hallelujah. He is our teacher. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm actually going to turn there because I want to read a few scriptures out of there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. He is our teacher, so, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The Holy Spirit gives us better understanding and revelation. He reveals the deep things of God. Lastly, there's a lot of terms, titles, and I'm going to give you one more. It's in Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 28, right at the end of the chapter. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is often referred to as fire. I want to be so in touch with the Holy Spirit. I am consumed with this fire, with every thought, every move, every motivation, every passion, so filled that I can boldly go where he calls. It's like Peter, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, asked for boldness, preached the word, and 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom because of the anointing that was put on him. Our prayer should be for that same fire, that same yearning in our lives. Can you say amen to that? So these attributes of the Holy Spirit should prove to us our need. He's a helper, teacher, advocate, counselor, intercessor. We need that. You can't do this alone. So when I walk in the abundance of the Holy Spirit, I walk in that abundance of help, of someone who is defending me. So yes, he is power, but he is so much more than that. And he reveals the deeper things of God. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. This word, guys, is truth. It's life to us. But the Holy Spirit will help reveal this word to you. I can read about walking in the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit himself reveals things about myself, and he convicts when I've strayed away. I can read about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we will in a couple weeks. I can read about the giftings of the Holy Spirit, but only the Holy Spirit can reveal those things to me. I can read that the weapons of my warfare are not carnal. But that war isn't just scriptural. It's happening in your everyday life. There is a spiritual warfare that happens in every single person. So I can read about it, that my weapons are not carnal, but I need to pick up my spiritual weapons. I need to pray in the Spirit. These are the tools that you're given. I need the Holy Spirit's help when I war against the principalities and powers in my life. So don't ever think that you can do any of this in your own power, that you can walk in life and truth in your own power. The Holy Spirit is available today to help you. He's not just scriptural, amen? He's ready to go to war with you. He's going to stand with you in your trials, and like I said before, he's going to help keep you out of that mess in the first place. So that's why we need to be careful when we talk about the Holy Spirit. The correct way to refer to the Holy Spirit is he, not it. Personal. There's a personal force here. When we understand these things, we understand that we need the Holy Spirit. When Jesus fulfilled his mission on earth, he knew that we needed the Holy Spirit. So would you please turn with me to John chapter 16, verse 5. I absolutely love what Jesus is saying here. Starting at verse 5, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. This still, I want to stop there just for a moment. This boggles my mind a little bit. Imagine being one of the disciples of Jesus here. And they must be thinking to themselves, how can this be? Look at all the incredible works that you have done. How could it be to our advantage to not have you? That is a baffling thought when you really think about this. Imagine being these disciples, laying down everything, selling everything to follow Jesus, and he says, I have to go. But it's to your advantage. Has it ever felt like an advantage when someone has left your life personally? Some of you are thinking about your kids and thinking about them going off to college. And you're like, well, it's not that bad of a thought, really. Empty nest and all. But what about when someone leaves us here on this earth? Someone dear to you and you feel pain and emptiness from that loss, from their absence. It does not feel like that's to your advantage. I'm not trying to bring up pain. I'm trying to make this relatable to us today. So that way this has a more profound meaning when Jesus is saying, it's to your advantage. That way we cherish the Holy Spirit more. And I can imagine the thought, Jesus, I want to trust you. I want to understand what you're saying here, but we had a good thing going here. And so then I wonder if it's like the comforts that we hold to. We want to trust what God is saying, but we look at the present situation and we don't see how we can get there. Jesus is giving this reminder to everyone, you have to trust. Because unless I go, I can't send the Holy Spirit who is your helper. And when I go, you will be so full of the Holy Spirit, you will do greater things than me. But we get so stuck in the now. We see the way things are right in front of our face. It's so hard to see what we're promised, the promises that are right in front of us. Going on to verse 8. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Jesus says the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin. He will guide us into all truth. Take what is Jesus saying, you take what is mine and he will give it to you. That's why it's to your advantage. So we can see clearly that the authority and power of Jesus did not leave this world. That is why it's to our advantage. It is available to all who seek him in spirit and in truth. Jesus says, because I am going, you are enabled by the Spirit to do greater things than me. So when we give the Holy Spirit reign in our lives, we welcome in more than what we can see with our natural eye. We welcome in that authority, that power, the helper, the advocate, the teacher, your intercessor. So do not quench the Holy Spirit in your life. Don't put out the fire that's going to deliver you from your pain or your confusion, the fire that's going to intercede for you, the fire that's going to empower you with gifts to be used for the glory of God. Have you taken advantage of the gift of the Holy Spirit? Jesus is saying, this is to your advantage. Have you taken advantage of this gift? So, looking personally here, what is the answer to that question? Do you live with a need for the Holy Spirit every day? Not just in church, not just on Sunday mornings, every day, every moment. Ask yourself the hard question. And when you understand the Holy Spirit, you understand why there is a need for him in every thought, every moment of our lives. Do you live desperately for the Holy Spirit's work? I don't know what today or tomorrow will bring, but I know I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I need to be filled with his presence. I know I need an advocate who intercedes on my behalf and reveals the deeper things of God to me. So who is the Holy Spirit to you, this mystical being we read about? Or is he your helper? Is he power living in you to see the works of Jesus Christ carried out through all generations? I want to take just a brief pause. I alluded to this last week, and I feel it's important for me to go over this in more detail, my personal testimony within the last year and a half. If that's okay. I like to be open. I like to allow you to see where God has taken me, because I believe I'm not the only one who has these battles. But my testimony, it might seem simple to some, but I believe it's something that a lot of people are going through. There was a point, not even just maybe a year and a half ago, I got so stuck in church. And schedule and ritual and serving and doing all these things, and it became a job to me. It became a job. It's just doing what I know I have to do. And over time, I can't say this happened overnight, but over time I felt like there was this abandonment, neglect on my behalf, where I neglected the Holy Spirit in my thought and my work. Maybe sometimes here on Sunday morning, yeah, I devoted that time. But Sunday morning is not enough. You want to walk in the power and authority of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't just happen for an hour on Sunday mornings. And so that's what it became to me. And it put me in this place in life where actually where I felt done. Just felt done. That's just being honest. I just felt done with church. My faith in God was there. But I just felt lifeless. Felt like I had no joy. No fire. Just felt like I was here going through the motions. And this is just a job. And I got to do it because I've always done it. No one else can do it. So I guess I got to do it. Just being real. I'm just being real with you today. And I hope that's all right. But it didn't take long that thanks to the Holy Spirit, there was conviction in my heart. Because I was lifeless on my own accord. I received the Holy Spirit long ago, but you need continual filling. And I stepped away from that need. So I walked and I would, sing praise to God, thank you, God, on Sunday morning. And where was I the rest of the week? Where was I an everyday walk? Didn't need the Holy Spirit because I started to work in my own capabilities, I thought. And so I feel like so strongly to relay that message to you today that when we don't walk with a need, a desperation, a desire, that slowly the life gets sucked out of us. And that's what I felt like happened to me. It's walking in basically just, through the motions at this point. And it wasn't too long after that, like I said, thanks to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that I felt the need to return. I felt this need to return, and I thank God for that because it was at the point where I questioned a lot of things in my life, a lot of decisions that I've made, a lot of things that were going to happen in the future. And I felt the Spirit's conviction over my life that there has to be more. There is more for me. There is more that is in store for me. But there just needed to be this yearning, this desire to be filled, this yearning to rely on God through the Holy Spirit. So I guess my message to you is sometimes it takes, if you get a little lost, sometimes it takes getting a little lost on your path to never again forget where you need to go. You get lost for a moment, but you know where the path is. Thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit that even the walls and the barriers that I placed, the hardening that went over my heart, that it was broken, and I felt conviction, and I felt a need again that I hadn't felt in a long time. And it stirred me so much more to want more things. And I think this happens to a lot of people. We get caught up in every day. We know the word, we know the scripture, but we don't live like we need. We don't live desperately for the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. So I'm telling you right now, look how quickly God can turn things around in your life. He can turn things around in an instant. And it's often in our deepest, darkest, most dreadful pit that he meets our need. So whether the need was, maybe I wasn't hardened, but I was turning to other things. If that's you, I'm telling you today, you can return. I was turning to drugs. We don't want to hear this word, but I'm telling you, this is a dangerous word in the church. I was turning to pornography. I was turning to whatever it is. It's running rampant in the church. It's running rampant in Christians today. And so when we don't have the Holy Spirit, we're not filled with the Holy Spirit's power and help, we fall victim to those things. So sure, you may have received the Holy Spirit long ago, but over time, maybe you became complacent. Maybe you started looking to other areas to fill that need. Because when we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to be filled with something. So we look to other things. For me, I wasn't filled, so I just felt lifeless, dead. so then it's, I'm just going to keep working. I'm just going to get through life. Make it. Praise God. That is not what anyone has in store for them. You're not just here to make it. You're not just here to make it till the end and do nothing and have no impact. Every single one of you have gifts that are given to you by the Holy Spirit, and we'll go over that in a few weeks. But I feel like it's so important to always remember first the first need. The evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life lies in the fruit that comes out of your life. My fruit was anger, jealousy, pride. That was my fruit. That's not fruit of the Spirit. That's fruit of the flesh. That's not something that comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit. So I would not ask the hard questions on anyone here to ask yourself if I didn't ask them myself the same questions. So sometimes the Holy Spirit's knocking, right? We feel that tug. We feel that tug in your heart, that pull, return. Come to me. You've gotten off the path. Get back on the path. Are you welcoming in him in like a gift today? Or is this just more of, I'm just getting by. I come to church. Sometimes I pray. Don't get by anymore. Don't get by. It's not time to survive. It's time to thrive in the name of Jesus. So our prayer should be, let's stand up. Our prayer should be, fill us, Holy Spirit. So I invite you today to seek the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with a fresh fire. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. His Spirit never runs dry. It never runs out. In the Holy Spirit, there is refreshment. John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And now Jesus is glorified. The Holy Spirit is given to you. So rivers of living water are given to you. Where there has been dry, drought, fruitless living, through the Holy Spirit, you are given the opportunity to have rivers harvest in your life. Hallelujah. Isaiah 58:11 says, "The Lord will guide you continually, satisfy your soul in drought, and strengthen your bones. And you shall be like a well-watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." That is my desire, to be so filled with the Holy Spirit is just spring it out of me. Spring it out of me. Spring forth, Lord. Consume me like a consuming fire, that when I walk, when I talk, I walk in boldness under the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and fire. No longer about self. Tired of living life for David. I want to live life unto the Lord. Amen. So today, if you feel like you have just been in that place, that you can relate with me, that it's become a life of contentment, but it's been a life of mediocrity in the Spirit, that you know that God has a desire for you to do things, but yet you don't know what's going on. Right now, first, you need to remind yourself that you need the Holy Spirit. So we're going to take a moment of worship. Whether you need prayer today, that is up to you, or whether you want to just worship the Lord and say, "God, I have lived without a need for your Spirit's work in my life. Daily I've lived like that, but no more. No more. I want to live passionately. I want to thrive in your Holy Spirit." So I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. Let's take a few moments to worship. And let's just ask for a filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives.